Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. Welcome back to another season of podcasts. We're glad to have you with us. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes will be speaking on Parshat Bereishit. First, though, some announcements of talks that you can attend with faculty members of Pardes. The first ones will be this Thursday, October 16th in Jerusalem at the Sukkot Festival of Jewish Learning. This Saturday, October 25th, Judy Kutzner will be speaking at Harvard Hillel in Cambridge in the late afternoon. Judy will then be speaking in the evening at Newton Center. And then Judy will be speaking on October 29th, which is a Wednesday, in New York City. Also, Rabbi John Kelson, another Pardes faculty member, will be speaking at the Taste of Limud in Brooklyn. That's on Monday, October 27th. If you can make any or all of those talks, you'll have a great time. Details are on the notes that come with this podcast, or you can view them at the website podcasts.pardesusa.org. This week, as I mentioned, Rabbi Daniel Landes will be speaking on Parshat Bereishit. Rabbi Landes is the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. We begin once again with enthusiasm, the reading of the Torah, Parsha by Parsha, and our study. This week, it's the book of Bereishit, the Parsha of Bereishit, Genesis at the very beginning. And in this action-packed Parsha, chosen to look at the story of Cain v'Hevel, the story of Cain and Abel, Cain, a term denoting strength, I acquired, I create. That's what the word Cain comes from, Kana. And the word Hevel, or Abel, Hevel meaning breath. Of course, Hevel doesn't last long. He's like a breath that is just gone in a moment. My interest in the story is really on the Cain side. A tragic story. Cain, did he have to go in this direction? Was there other possibilities? I'm referring to the Kavanot, and I have two comments on this. But in order to get to that, let's begin at the beginning. That's the beginning of the story that talks about the birth of Cain and Hevel, and the fact that Hevel and then Cain both bring sacrifices to God. It says, first it's Cain. Vahi miketz yomim, this is chapter 4, verse 3, at the end of days, end of a period of time, that Cain brought from the fruits of the ground, fruits of the earth, a gift to God, a sacrifice. And Hevel brought also from the first fruits of his flock and from their fat part, the choice meat. And God had respect, he inclined, he was gracious to Hevel and to his gift. And now verse 5, El Cain vel minchato lo sha'ah, but to Cain and his gift he did not respect, he had no respect God. Ve'yichar l'Cain ma'od ve'yiplu p'fanav, and Cain was just very, very angry, and his face fell, he was ashamed. Ve'yomer Adonai el Cain, lama chara lach v'lama naflu p'fanecha. But God says to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? Why are you crestfallen? Halo im teitiv se'et, v'im lo teitiv la'petach atat rovetz, v'elecha teshukato v'ata timshal bo. Is it not true that im teitiv, if you will do well, se'et, you will be raised up? V'im lo teitiv, but if you will not do well, by the door sin crouches, and it has a desire for you, but you shall rule over it. And so God really gives Cain the choice and tells him that you can overcome this. At the very beginning, God says to Cain, Vayomer Hashem el Cain, why are you angry? Why are you crestfallen? Well, this question seems, on the face of it, to have already been answered. We said in the prior verses that God had respect, God had favor to Hevel and to his sacrifice and to his gift, but to Cain and to his sacrifice gift, he had no respect. And then it says that Cain was angry and his face fell. So we know why. How is it that God asked that question? And in a very sharp analysis of the wording, the Chidushei Harim, Yitzhak Meir of Gur, the first of the great Hasidic dynasty of Gur in the 1800s, Father Sfat Emet, says the following, that God is asking a particular question to Cain. He says to Cain, Emorat Emet, tell the truth. Why is it that you're angry and your face fell? Is it because I did not favor you and your sacrifice? Is that what you can't live with? You can't live with that defeat, that I did not respect you, I did not accept your sacrifice? Or perhaps, Shema Biglal Sha'el Ha'avel Ve'el Minchatol Sha'iti. Or maybe it's because that to your brother, to your younger brother Hevel, and to Abel, and to his gift sacrifice, I did have respect. Maybe it's not so much your own defeat, but the fact that your brother was successful, that your brother had a spiritual insight, that your brother had the spiritual possibility, that your brother knew to give from the first fruits of his crop, of his tzon, of his flock, and from the fatty parts. Was that the fact? Your jealousy of your brother? It's a very good analysis here of what's going on. Cain is angry. His face fell because of his brother's success, because of his brother's spiritual success. And he does not know how to deal with it. And since he does not know how to deal with it, and he personalizes it, it becomes a demonic obsession that ends in tragedy. And as this as a background, we could look at that other verse that we quoted, God who offers Cain a choice. Let me just repeat again. Is it not that if you shall do good, you will be elevated, Seit. And if you do not do towards the good, well then, sin crouches at the door and you will trip over that sin. That sin is attached to you and that sin wants to consume you. And my grandfather, blessed memory, Reb Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, my teacher, my mentor, taught me, and he wrote also in his classic work, Menachem Tzion Al HaTorah, that jealousy has different aspects. It has actually even a positive possibility and can be directed in a positive way. Judaism is loath to give up on any human emotion and just to deride human emotions as bad. No, God created many things and he created human emotions, and even the ones that on the face can be bad have potential for being good. If a person is jealous for heavenly matters, for things on a proper level, things that are spiritual. If a person has a certain type of jealousy, even for someone who is great in Torah and in fear of heaven, for a person, and you're jealous of a person because of their great deeds, this jealousy can have panim yafot. This jealousy can have a good face to it, can direct a person in the proper way. In fact, in the tractate Baba Batra, studying this year in the Kol of Pardes, it says on folio 21 that kinat sofrim tarbe chachma, that the jealousy of scribes or the jealousy of the students of Torah increases wisdom. You see someone else in the Beit Midrash coming up with a good remark, and they say something smart, and you say, what can I do? How can I rethink the section that I have? And it seems to be an unworthy notion, because you want to almost outdo the other person. But that type of tacharut, that type of even competition, can lead to greater Torah. It's a human emotion. You want to excel, and you want to even do better, and the other person has set up the bar, and you... a high bar, you want to go even higher than that bar. It creates a competitive force, that pushes a person to go above and beyond. This is very different than when a person is only jealous of very earthly matters. They're jealous of someone who has been able to achieve well monetarily. In such cases, the productivity may move a person towards positive activity on your own, but also may be something which just takes a person to the wrong direction. You're jealous for possessions. You're jealous for achievement for achievement's sake. You're jealous for that which you can be considered. This type of jealousy has a demonic aspect to it. And therefore, in Shir HaShirim, no more truer statement has been said as in Song of Songs, Chapter 8, Kasha Kish'ol Kina, that jealousy is harder than Sha'ol, than the depths, that jealousy is itself a living hell. When the poet said that jealousy is other people, said hell is other people, I think they had jealousy in mind. And we also see in our chapters of our fathers and the ethical teachings of the Tanaim of the Mishnah, Hakina, Hatava, Vakavod, Motzim, et Adam min olam. Three things drive a person, take a person out of this world, meaning drive a person crazy. Jealousy, desire, and honor. Desire for status. We should translate again. Jealousy, desire, and status seeking, takes a person out of this world. I had a chavrutza, a study partner for many years, and when he was raising his young children, would often pick up a magazine and go through the advertisements with them, and he'd say, look at the advertisements for a car, or for a boat, or for food, or for whatever, and he says, which ones of these advertisements are based on jealousy for attainment, or just sheer animal desire, or for status seeking? And most advertisements, he was pretty good at making his children immune to this. But here it says, Kina, jealousy can take you out of the world, can just drive you crazy. Because never stopping, you're always jealous. In the Talmud Shabbat, on folio 152, Kuf Nun Bet, it says, Kol mi sheyesh lo kina belibo asmotav markivim. Whoever has jealousy in his heart, his very bones crumble, or they rot. The bones decay. In other words, jealousy takes away from your moral integrity, your sense of self. You just become an object. You yourself become an object of your desire, and whoever is you is gone. So how do you do the kinah in the right way? So these two kinot, these two jealousies, are actually brought in the Midrash Socher Tov, based on Psalm 37, Tehillim Lamed Zion, which brings in its wake a verse from Proverbs. The verse is from Mishlei Chaf Gimel, Proverbs 23. And the verse is a verse of parallelism, parallels one section to another. Verse 17 in that chapter 23. Al yikanei libecha b'chata'im. Don't be jealous in your heart for those people involved in sin, for sinners. Don't be jealous of the sinners. Kim birat Hashem kol hayom. But in the fear of God should be spent your entire day. A pious remark. And the Midrash breaks it up and analyzes what's going on in that verse. Ayikaneli b'cha b'chatim. Don't be jealous of sinners. So the Midrash says, from what should you be jealous of? Jealousy doesn't seem such a good idea. No. Jealousy can be good. Kim b'yirat Hashem kol hayom. Be jealous of those who spend their day in fear of God. Fear of God means moral action. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, God says, Kanali, be jealous for me, or be jealous of me, or be jealous of those who attain me. She'il mo'le ha'kina she'kina Avraham ha'kosh baruch hu lo'ho yakoneh shemayim v'aretz. If it wasn't for the jealousy that God had regarding God, God says, I would not have formed heaven and earth. The very fact I formed heaven and earth was to create a person like Avraham who had a certain jealousy. Midrash continues to explain. Who was Avram jealous of? Avram was jealous of Noach, because Noach was able to nurture, sustain all the beasts within his ark. And so Avram thought to himself, if Noach had not done this great act of tzedakah, of kindliness, with the beast, and with the domesticated animal, and with the bird, if he had not done so, they would not have entered the ark, they wouldn't have left the ark, the world would not have survived. Therefore, I'm thinking of a how much more so, a kal v'chomer. Im ani aseh im bnei adam sheim demut v'tzelem shel malachim. If I will do the same with humans who are in God's image and in the form of high angels, al achad kama v'kama shenetzal min ha-pigayim. Should we not all be saved? Will I not attain a certain spiritual dimension if I will do so? And so what did Avraham do? We have the verse, Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, that Avraham planted a tree in Be'er Sheva. And Eshel, according to Chazal, the rabbis, is notrikon, is the Rashi Tevot, is an abbreviation. Each letter referring to another word. Eshel, Alf Shin Lamed, Aleph Achila, eating, Shin Shtia, drinking, Lamed Lina, laying over, or residence, sleeping over, Achil Shtil Lina, or Levia, or Levaya, or Lina, referring to that he planted a hostel, not a tree, but he made an actual hostel, in which he provided for travelers that they could stay, they could eat, they could drink, they could sleep over, and they could be accompanied on their way by Avraham and by his household. And therefore, Avraham, out of his kina, out of his jealousy for what Noah had achieved further. And therefore, this is what actually God says to Cain. Halo im teitiv. If you want to do good, if you take this in the right way, that your brother has accomplished something, if you know how to deal with your jealousy, and not just see it as a status that, and as an honor that that your brother has achieved, then se'et, you will be elevated. You're allowed to have a little bit of a tacharut here, a little bit of a competition. You can move yourself to a higher level. And if we consider the examples brought in the Midrash, if this spiritual desire could also have an ethical dimension, how greatly, se'et, you will be elevated. You will elevate yourself through your desire to do good. But if you do not move yourself in the right direction, if you don't know how to deal with your jealousy, if you just try to squash it, which is almost impossible, but if you move it to all-consuming, worried about your status, worried about your position in society, well, what can I say? You're making a mistake. Do not be jealous of the ways of the sinner. In that case, well, you have just created sin to trip over, sin that's crouching your doorway. And indeed, why a doorway? Because this sin of jealousy, or this attribute of jealousy, will actually be the doorway. You've opened the door for many sins. Patachta tadelech hata'im rabim. You've opened the door to many sins. Ve'elecha teshukato, and it will unceasingly have its desire upon you. It will become your obsession. And so therefore, beginning of Bereshit, the potential hero is Cain. He starts with a feeling of loneliness. It's hard for him to confront that he's crestfallen not because of a spiritual lack within himself, because of his brother's attainment, his brother's status. And he's not even able to use that status, and even use this desire to achieve true greatness, to also move in the area of spirituality, to expand that spirituality to an area of ethical action. All he can think about is Hevel, what Hevel's achieving. Therefore, all he can think is how to destroy that person who has achieved the status that he cannot yet achieve. And that leads to tragedy. This, perhaps even more than the story of the Garden of Eden, the tragic lesson for us. The lesson is not to rid ourselves of our humanity, rid ourselves of those emotions which are just part of who we are. The problem is, and the challenge is how to use those emotions, not only to sublimate them, but actually to elevate them, to use them, to employ them, to achieve great good and the great potential that we have within ourselves. This is the beginning of Bereshit. There's much more to learn. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Chag Sameach, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.